first glance, the impact of sequestration on prime contractors doesn't seem to be so bad. Some solid earnings reports coming out, but the results may be a little misleading. Michael Lewis is a chartered financial analyst and co-founder of the Silverline Group. Here is part of our Federal News Radio special report, The Private Side of Sequestration. Michael, thanks for being on the program again. It's good to have you as always. Are we kind of misled by these terrific earnings results? Because it really doesn't look like it's hurting the big ones so bad at all.
Hey, Francis. Thanks for having us back. I think that you're right. All of the earnings reports that we've seen from the large prime integrators have been very strong. They have certainly surpassed expectations. I mean, if you look at Lockheed Martin, GD, General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman, and Raytheon, they all had very strong showings. While revenue was a little bit light, most of these companies had blowout margins, strong EPS, and their mix continued to be very good with solid execution. So your thesis that, you know, we're not really seeing the impacts from sequestration appear on target.
What the two things that I took away also from the calls recently, and one is the CEOs of the companies or whoever was talking on the calls all sounded like they were trying to make it sound like, well, this isn't going to hurt us. This is going to be the other guy. And so eventually somebody's got to take it when it comes to this. The other issue is what you said about the margins. And I have not seen a tremendous shift, as I thought I might see, of these companies starting to move away from federal and move more toward commercial. A lot of them talked about maybe doing that, but it's not happening yet. It doesn't appear.
Well, first on timing, what you're seeing here, it's really as a result of the mix at these large prime contractors. The great majority of their revenue is generated by funds coming from procurement accounts and research and development accounts, and they tend to be longer duration funding profiles. And if you take a Lockheed Martin, for example, a large percentage of their revenue is tied to weapons manufacturing, for example, and this is longer tail type funding. Now, we're going to see a few pure play government services firms start to report this week. They have a much higher proportion of the revenue tied to one-year money, or in other words, O&M money. And I think that we're going to see some of the funded backlog levels continue to weaken. And so the reason why the primes are holding up very well is because of the longer duration of that revenue. Now, shifting gears to the margin profile, what we've seen over the last two or three years have been significant changes in the cost structure of these primes. And as a result, it's really starting to show up as they've pulled back the costs within the businesses. They have been very successful in driving those cost savings down to the bottom line. That's why the margins continue to improve quarter over quarter.
If you look at when these numbers come out this week for these companies that rely more on one-year money, what can we tell out of the numbers that we see, if this, then that, or is it too early even where we are in the sequestration timeline to be able to derive that kind of information, Michael?
We are paying most of our attention to funded backlog levels. Funded backlog is money in hand on contract. And that's what we're tracking to provide us with the visibility into the revenue streams. I think that's the best gauge for both industry and investors to focus their attention, because that is really the tell on whether the business is turning towards the downside or able to maintain stability in their backlog profiles. And with stronger backlog, you can hold on to top line. Well, there's really no growth, but stronger top-line performance. But if you have decelerating funded backlog, that will typically start to show up in your numbers 3, 4, 5, 6 months out. Now, we've already seen one quarter with the services firms, and we already have started to see that turn. We expect that we will continue to see the funded backlog profiles at the pure play services firms continue to get weaker.
Michael Lewis is a chartered financial analyst and co-founder of the Silverline Group. You can read more about them through a link at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. So, Michael, it sounds like what you're telling me is that this won't be a falling off the cliff. This will be kind of a sequestration slide that we can expect to see overall in the market for all of these companies collectively. Obviously, it'll vary company by company.
Yeah, when we look at the larger primes, as we look forward, if sequestration continues as it is today, I think industry and investors should really expect to see some negative trends to start showing in the results over, say, the next two or three quarters. Again, it goes back to that longer-term duration backlog with procurement and research and development funds. Once we get into a few quarters in this current sequestration environment, we'll start to see their results worsen. But it just, they're so big, it hasn't happened yet with the primes. It's starting to happen with some of the smaller firms in the defense space.
Does it matter from an analytical perspective, Michael, if the mechanism by which budgets are reduced is sequestration or some other way that Congress decides to go about it? Or does it just matter that the top lines are pretty much destined at this point to get smaller and it's going to impact these companies one way or the other?
Sequestration is a very sloppy way to reduce spending. As you well know, it's across-the-board cuts across all the program of records. Now, there are some actions in place right now where they're trying to make it so that the Defense Department can allocate where they want more cuts versus less. But as it's written in law today, it's a straight across-the-board cuts. With that said, what I tend to discuss with industry personnel and our clients and also some investors that call on us is that we're still looking at $450 to $500 billion markets. It's still a very large market. But now you're going to really see a separation of those firms that are engaged and able to take market share away from their peers. That's going to show the real successful companies versus the rest. So we target when we look at a company-to-company analysis, we say, who's taking market share? Those firms that are taking market share, who have strategic guidance, have a real core focus in their market, are going to perform very well even in this environment.
I guess what I'm getting at is if the Department of Fill-in-the-Blank reaches a top line through congressional appropriations and an orderly process of $50 billion, or they reach a top line of $50 billion through sequestration, does it really matter that much for the companies that do business with that particular agency? Or is sequestration so much sloppier that even though the numbers wind up being the same, the scenario for the companies is much worse?
It's really going to be on a company-to-company basis, Francis. I mean, when we look at sequestration, again, it's across-the-board cuts. If there was a $50 billion cut that's allocated properly, some firms will feel it more than others, depending on how they are, the proportion of their revenue to any one given agency. So regardless, $50 billion cuts or $40 billion cuts, it's still a lot of money. Everyone's going to feel a little bit, but the question is who feels the most? And that's still yet to be seen.
Michael, I appreciate your insight. As always, great to have you on the program.